but she would download the 15-minute broadcast when we first started, and we didn't realize it was taking her about 4 hours to download a 15-minute broadcast. Oh, come on, Betty, get with it, girl. I'll send you one of my old ones. I'll outdo whatever you got up there. But God just helped us to put this together. Amen. And I believe we're with the Holy Spirit's help, we're creating studio quality because I don't hear any drop in the quality when it goes from the studio announcer to our broadcast. We have achieved that. It took a little while and some praying, but God has helped us work it out. And it's a simple process, but it's sounds like we're in a studio, and God has just given us the grace to make a quality broadcast technically and biblically, and we pray that the Lord will continue to use that. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Ephesians. We received the offering. You didn't hardly notice, did you? Praise the Lord. Amen. And let's look at Ephesians 5 and verse 18. I want to put this in the context of the words of Jesus before I read this. Jesus said, "Beware lest your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, that that day come upon you as a thief, for as a snare it shall come on all the inhabitants of the earth." Now, I don't believe that we're giving heed to some of the most important words about the end time that our Lord has spoken. I really don't believe that the average Christian is living in that state of awareness and that state of alertedness that God wants us to live in. Why? Because we're entangled in the affairs of this life. You know what the Bible said about the affairs? That there are certain responsibilities we all have to do, but not to the exclusion of our spiritual walk with God and our witness for the Lord and our work for the Lord and the work of the Lord. Can you say amen? It can be balanced, but it takes prioritizing on our part. Amen. I know very well how hard it is to balance the demands of the workplace with our personal walk. But I've found that if I will prioritize my life and the kingdom is truly first, did you know that you can worship at work? And I'm not talking about at lunch, you know, whispering little, "Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, I love you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah." You know, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about doing everything you do to the glory of God. Everybody say, "Everything I do to the glory of God." You know, the Bible said everything you do, do it all to the glory of God. Amen. If you're in a laundromat and you're doing your clothes, do it to the glory of God. Do it with joy in your heart and Him in your view. Amen. So that when people see you doing it, that you're doing it with a different attitude than they are. Amen. Amen. Yeah. It's the attitude that sets you apart. One day I stand at my locker, I told you many times, and I'm not aware a lot of the times I'm witnessing without an awareness of witnessing. Amen. And it was my attitude. It was Monday, and I was happy. I wasn't happy to be going to work, but I was happy that I had the strength to work. I was happy that the Lord is with me wherever I am. I was happy to know that what I did that day was going to reflect on Him. Amen. I'm going to do my very best. My faith demands that I give my best to my employer, even if my employer is taking advantage of me. Thank you for the hearty amens out there. I wanted to preach many Sundays on this subject because of take this job and love it. Can you say amen? You all know the other version of that, the world's version of that. Most people have that attitude, but you can worship. The Bible said, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything involving the Lord in your daily life, so that everything is part of our worship of Him. We don't just categorize and worship over in this corner of our life and do all the other stuff and then try to capture the real power of the Holy Spirit just on Sunday. He wants to be with you. "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? If I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost part of the sea, thou art there." So I've got a good attitude on Monday. And I'm smiling. A simple smile is attracting attention. Because all the people that partied over the weekend and went out and got drunk are hungover on Monday. And now they got to go pull a hard eight hungover. And here I am. If I am hungover, it's Holy Ghost hungover. Because I got a raspy voice from preaching two services and praising God during both of them. Amen? That's why I make my radio broadcast on Tuesday, because Monday I've got that bluesy. I was sitting in I used to go where my wife went to get my hair cut, and she, you know, I was sitting in one of these salons, I said something in response to a question, and the lady says, wait, let me guess. Don't tell me what you do for a living. Let me guess. You're a blues singer. Because it was Monday and my voice was raspy from preaching on Sunday, and they thought that I'd been singing the blues like Dr. John down in New Orleans or somewhere. Amen. But I said, no, I'm not a blues singer. In fact, I don't have the blues and I don't sing the blues. I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You should have seen their face drop. Amen. They thought that maybe I was maybe from New Orleans or somewhere, and I was, some blues singer somebody of some importance. But when you say you're a preacher of the gospel, it's like, oh, boy, you know, I thought I had cooties. Amen. They didn't want to do my hair. It would have been all right if I was a hard-drinking, hard-living blues singer. But if I'm a righteous man living for Jesus, proclaiming the gospel, that changed the whole atmosphere of the place. Amen. But then I got to tell them I don't sing the blues. I said, I've got the joy of the Lord in my heart, and I have a joyous attitude. And that attitude is infectious. It's incredible that you can actually worship God, amen, in every part of your life, not just categorize your worship to Sunday. So just the attitude of joy is part of doing what you do. The Bible said, whatever you do, say it with me, whatever you do, do it heartily. That means put your whole heart into it as unto the Lord. That's part of worship, isn't it? And not unto men. For you'll be rewarded of who for that extra effort? Of the Lord Christ. The job will probably just take advantage of you, to be frank and honest. Amen? If you do work and they know you'll get her done, guess what they're going to do? Give you a break every chance they get and pat you on the back. No more. They're going to give you more work. They run our crew one person short of what it needs to run properly. Because they feel like I can do the work of two people. One of the operators said, I hate to see Rev go on break. It's like two people going at once. Well, that's a compliment, but my poor old body doesn't appreciate that. My body is screaming. It's all right to worship God, but please, please, amen. Hey, slow down. That's my message on the radio. I listened to it as I preached it. So I try to find my downtime to be really restful. I try to give all those burdens to Him. I try to rejuvenate and recuperate. Amen. And I do a pretty good job, don't I, Sister Venable? I come home, look like death warmed over, the walking dead. Amen. But by the next morning, I'm ready to go at it again. But if it wasn't for an attitude, amen. And when people recognize that attitude, amen, they said, why are you so, and they used an expletive, why are you so blankety-blank happy? And I thought, how come my happiness is offending you? I didn't say it, but I thought, what is wrong with you? What is your problem? Amen. Do you want everybody to be like you are? Amen. Do you want the whole world to go around with a frown? What does it say? Smile and the whole world smiles with you? No, it don't. It's amazing when you... What I do right now, I do because everything else is so flaky. But when I get in my realm, I do this as unto the Lord. It's not going to get me a raise. It's not going to get me even a pat on the back. It's expected of me. Amen? But then I have the opportunity. One time I remember everybody being on break but me, because there was something to be cleaned and the boss had left because he had to go somewhere. Well, when the cat's away, what happens? When the cat's away, the mice will play. Well, the mice don't just play, honey. They leave. And they don't leave the workplace. There's got to be hiding places. There's got to be places people go to you know. We call them buffaloes. We got buffaloes on the ship. You know what? You've ever heard where out on the plains where the buffaloes roam? Amen. These are people that just roam around. You see them roaming around. You don't see them doing any work and they're getting paid what you are, but they're just kind of roaming around all the time. They go this way and that way and this way. They're not carrying anything. They're not doing anything. So we say, there goes the buffalo on your shift, didn't it? She's the buffalo on your shift. He's the buffalo on this shift. Well, I'm not the buffalo. I'm the beast of burden. Amen. They work me like a rented mule. I'm telling you, they pour it on me. But when they do, I do my best because I'm doing it as unto the Lord. If I couldn't take God into the workplace, I couldn't work another day. I honestly don't think I could take it anymore. But I take Him with me, and I do it as unto the Lord. They're not going to appreciate it, but they're not the one I'm looking for the blessing anyway. Can't nobody do me like
Jesus.
Can you say amen? Whatever you do, come on, let's get this in our life, church. Whatever you do, do it heartily, as unto the who? The Lord, and not unto the people you work for or you serve. I've given my whole life to pastoral ministry. I've been in hospital rooms. I've been baptized people. I've ministered to them, lifted them up, been instrumental in their coming to know Christ as their Savior. And there are people that wouldn't give me the time of day that don't care if we live, die, go hungry, or anything else. So if you think preaching is going to give you great honor and a whole bunch of friends that are going to love you for the rest of their life because you've invested spiritually, hey, wise up. That ain't going to happen. Churches get rid of pastors, and 10 minutes after the 10-year tenure, they don't even care that they were there. My uncle just about killed himself getting a church built in Ocala. Got the church built and the roof on it, and got up there and helped hammer all the nails that went in the roof with the construction workers and went through all of that. Amen. About 6 months later, they got him another one. He just walked into somebody else's hard work, sweat, and labor. And they don't even have a plaque or a picture or anything to indicate the hard work that went into it. They're just enjoying, you know, somebody else's labors, and you just go on. And if you're not doing it as unto the Lord, you ain't going to do it very long. I mean, if Paul wasn't doing it as unto the Lord, he wouldn't have done it very. He was among false brethren. He was shipwrecked and in the deep for a day and night. You better be doing this unto the Lord and not unto men. Can you say, man? Expecting your reward from the Lord Christ and not from people or immediate circumstances. We're in the day of instant gratification. What's in it for me when people go to church this morning? I mean right here and right now. Well, let me tell you what's in it for you. Eternal life is in it for you. Amen. Escaping the judgment to come is in it for you. Can you say, man? A crown of glory is laid up for you when you get there. Hallelujah. I want the reward most where I'm going to live the longest. And that's eternity. Because everything else is going to pass away. This is going to be gone. Amen. Paul Newman just passed away. He lived a long life, but he passed away. It's all gone. Amen. It's all gone. If he didn't know Christ, it's all over. Accept the judgment. Beware lest you get caught. See, you can get caught up in the attitude of everybody around you, caught up in the world system, even in the way that you perform your work. And nobody's going to know. We get just as agitated, just as frustrated, just as angry, just as upset, and we lose that understanding that God wants you to do whatever you do heartily. And the Bible said, servants, obey your masters. For all practical purposes, your boss comes under that heading. And mine. And most people don't have nice, understanding, sweethearted, encouraging, coach-like bosses. Most of them are under the gun from somebody higher up. They're in a hard place because they're between the company and the workers. They're right in the middle. Amen. So they enforce what the company sends down and puts all these agendas and everything. And nobody really likes their bosses. Amen. But the Bible said, as Christians, we're to do our job, amen, and to do it from the heart, and we're to do it obediently, not as men pleasers, amen, but do it from the heart. Isn't that incredible that God wants us to put our whole heart into everything we do and do it as unto the Lord, so that He can be glorified, no matter what kind of mundane thing that we are doing? Can you say, amen? Remember when I first got saved, I wanted to do something for God. First thing I wanted to do is do something for the Lord. I didn't want to go and shake the world or be a world-renowned preacher or anything. I just wanted to do something for Jesus. I didn't even know about, at first I wasn't even called to preach, but I just wanted to do something about Jesus, something to help. And I remember they told me, well, we got Sunday school superintendent, we got an assistant superintendent, we got Sunday school teachers, but if someone would get here early when the pastor opens the doors, the teachers have been complaining about not having all their materials. So I was in charge of pencils and chalk and to set it all up and any materials they needed. And I got there early, amen, just me and the pastor. My wife would be there, and he would open the door. We were the first ones there for a while, and I would go in and grab up those pencils, and I went in with this attitude, you know, heartily as unto the Lord. And I remember getting that pencil sharpener, the manual ones that you crank, and sticking that pencil in, and I went, I love you, Jesus. It was all in that pencil sharpening. Praise God, it was as unto the Lord, not unto men. Amen. And then I got those erasers, and I put them by the boards, and I put out the books, and I laid them down, and I looked at a pencil, and it didn't look sharp enough. Amen. I want to do this as unto the Lord. So I want, you know, the Lord, if I was sharpening this for Jesus to use, I want it to have a perfect point on it. Amen. I started eating up pencils, and people were complaining because they were so sharp when they went to write with it, it would break off the first time you touched it. Amen. I was overzealous. But let me tell you something. Amen. God honored that. God honored that. God honored that. God honored that. God saw my heart. I want to do something for you, and I want to do it from the heart. And I don't care what it is. It just doesn't matter. If there's a way I can bless you and be a blessing, I want to find that way. And I want to do it with all of my heart. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to do it with all of my heart. I remember a story from a pastor, true story. The church grew from about 50 to 500, and from 500 to 5,000, and from 5,000 to 10,000. And he has this huge 10,000-seat mega church sanctuary. And a man came to him that recently got saved, and he was a retired rear admiral in the United States Navy, high-ranking military man that the officers and the enlisted men are separated in the service, and he lived in that elite part of the service. He had all this authority and dignity. He's retired from the United States Navy as a rear admiral, and he's coming to this church now, and he comes to the pastor, and he says to the pastor, "Pastor, what do you need done around the church?" Well, with 10,000 people and it growing still and people enthused, and he said, "Well, everything is filled. We got counselors, we got visitation ministers, we got this, we got that." He said, "Isn't there some job maybe you haven't covered that maybe nobody wants to do?" And the pastor looked at him and says, "You know, the only thing that we have trouble keeping anybody doing," because he's just telling him this didn't occur to him that he'd be interested at all. He said, "The only thing is," he said, "we can't keep people cleaning the restrooms and making sure they're stocked." He said, because "we're thinking about hiring a service to do that, because we, out of 10,000 people, no one was in line saying, 'I will take care of cleaning the bathrooms and keeping them stocked. This will be my service unto the Lord.'" Amen. And this retired rear admiral said, "I'll do it. I'll do it. Will you let me do it?" And he said, "What could I say? I couldn't say you're above doing it. You're too important to do that. You're too dignified to do that." Amen. "If you're willing, how can I refuse you?" He said, "Sir, you don't have to do this." He said, "I didn't ask you about what I had to do. I told you I want to do something to help. And if this is what you need." And nobody knew when they came in, men and ladies, on Sunday morning, that on Saturday night, a retired rear admiral from the United States Navy had been in every one of those bathrooms, and he knew he used to do the inspections. He did the white glove stuff. He knew, amen, how to get those things sparkling. And nobody that used those facilities, did you ever stop, amen, amen, when you go into a bathroom, amen, and use it and say, "Thank you, Jesus, for whoever cleaned this place for me"? And if you've been in some that we've been, if you ever go to Haiti, if you ever went on a mission trip with me to Haiti or Jamaica, you will thank God for a clean bathroom. In fact, you will thank God for a bathroom.
Amen, brother.
Can you say amen? Wow. Whoever invented that white thing right there, I'd like to hug him. Can you say amen? Brother Spain and I out there in the boondocks looking, where's the bathroom? They pointed out in the bush. Anyway, God is good. Amen. And He's gracious. And John said, the pastor said, John Osteen was the pastor of this church. John said, he said, you know, this guy did this for about 18 months solid and he never missed a Sunday. And he said, but he began to grow spiritually and grow in his witness. And people begin to hear about this rear admiral. Not anything he did. Nobody saw that but God. God saw that. But they begin to hear about what he was doing. Amen. As terms of his personal witness, he began to share Christ and become effective in his testimony. And he began to get calls to come and speak here and come and speak there. This guy that is the bathroom attendant at the church is now getting calls to come and speak. Amen. After a while, they called him to go overseas. And he went overseas and held a meeting. And after a while, he found himself going from place to place, sharing his testimony, lifting up Jesus and exhorting, and doors began to open to him. They had to get somebody else at that point to clean the bathroom, not because he had an aversion to it, but God opened greater doors for him. But it all started when a man did like Jesus, who humbled himself. Everybody say, who humbled himself. Amen. And whatever he could find to do, whatever your hand finds to do, how are we to do that? How are we to do that as Christians? How are we to do it? Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. And that means the ability that God has given you, the strength that God has given you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said, servants, obey your masters and do it not as men pleasers. Amen. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but from the heart. Can you say amen? Genuinely and from the heart. Doesn't mean when they do you wrong, you don't call their attention to it. They take advantage. They try to do something that's wrong. You always stand for what is right. But it means the way you that you incorporate worship into everything, not just categorize worship as a Sunday thing. So I'm there Monday with a good attitude. I'm tired, but Jesus is Lord, and I try to focus on Him before I walk into that building and take Him with me. Life will overwhelm you if you see everything just as a responsibility and not an opportunity to bring glory and honor to your God. Hello? I still believe God's got a big trash basket. Huge thing sitting beside the throne. I think that's one thing John failed to tell us when he saw the throne and the rainbow and the river of life beneath it. Amen. That there's a huge trash can by the throne and all of our grumbling, mully grubbing, and complaining. He tosses it. He slam dunks it. Can you say amen? Amen. All the murmuring when we should be glorifying the Lord. You want some strength, some energy? Live your life with purpose. Can you say amen? Find purpose in everything you do. Be like the woman that had a big family, cooked for them, did the dishes, and had a sign up where she did the dishes. Worship services conducted here 3 times daily. Because while she was doing the dishes, she would sing praise to the Lord. She must have been doing it as unto the Lord. Kids may not appreciate what you do for them. You sacrifice, you work. They may not appreciate that. They may appreciate that. I hope they do. If they do, they're the exception, not the rule. Amen. Amen? But if you do it as unto the Lord, you're going to be rewarded of the Lord. Amen? Part of it is a strength that comes. The joy of the Lord is your what? Your strength. God can energize your old tired body if He can find a place in your old tired mind. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Oh, I'm overwhelmed. I hate this. I don't like that. I don't feel like that. Well, you know something? As you think in your heart, so are you. Amen. Amen? Amen? How about this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You think that might change anything about your day?
Yes, sir.
Can you say amen? Even though you've got the same responsibilities and pressures in life, that God wants to be involved in all of that. And whatever you do, I said whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, for you shall be rewarded of the Lord Christ. Can you say amen? Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. And that involves all that stuff. Can you say amen? All of that stuff. So God wants us to glorify Him in our life. God wants us to glorify Him in our job. God wants us to glorify Him in our family situations. God wants to be glorified everywhere that we are. And it's taking worship from just a church setting, taking it into our daily life, even the mundane things of life. Can you say amen? Where God can be glorified in it all. So here I am on a Monday morning and in the workplace with a happy heart. And it stands out, you know. And I whistle a tune. And it isn't even that, in my recollection, I don't even know if it's a gospel tune or just one of those happy tunes. Amen? It wasn't just the seven dwarfs that did that. Can you say amen? Christians are supposed to be happy. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Amen? Happy is, and happiness is something that sets you apart. Happy is the man that what? Amen. That's out here trying to do all of this on his own. No, that has the Lord God of Jacob for his help. Can you say, man, I don't do this alone. I don't do that alone. I don't do any of my family responsibilities alone. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, David said as he looked out over the Mediterranean Sea. He said, if I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost part of the sea, guess what? He's there. Amen. Hallelujah. If I ascend to heaven, He's there. If I make my bed in hell, even there thy hand shall uphold me. Where can I go that you're not? Amen. That includes when you go to work, praise God. Hallelujah. He's there. He's there. He's there. He's there. Glory be to God. He's there. He don't just go to church with you. He goes through life with you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. One Christian guy wouldn't get on an airplane because he's afraid it would go down. And someone told him, well, didn't Christ promise to be with you always? He said, yeah, but he said, lo, am I with you always. So anyway, so you be happy. You do what you do as unto the Lord. And so I'm just whistling this little song, and on the other side of the lockers, someone says, who is that over there so happy? And without anybody looking over there, someone else says, and I don't even see these guys, they're on the other side of the lockers, someone says, that's the Rev. He's got that deep, settled peace within. And I thought, glory be to God. I didn't have to do anything but be happy for somebody to notice that I have a relationship with God that I take with me into my life, not just something I do at church. This is something I do in my life. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, for you shall be rewarded of the Lord Christ. Amen. He's the one that will bless you. And one of the great blessings is the joy of the Lord is your strength. Can you say amen? It will energize you like nothing else. I work with people 27 years old that I trained. And I hear them complain about their knees. And I thought, you ought to have mine. And I hear them complaining about their feet. And I said, you should be standing on these suckers for 8 hours and going up and down ladders. I didn't know I could have so many pains. At the end of the night, I get up in the morning. I used to hear snap, crackle, and pop because I ate Rice Krispies. Now I don't eat Rice Krispies, but I still hear snap, crackle, and pop. But God is good, and He energizes me. Praise God. And somehow I feel every now and then that breath of the Spirit, that unction from the Lord, because I'm doing this as unto the Lord. Amen. So the cat's away, the boss is away, I'm working, and I see things that need to be done. I just do it. I look up and everybody else is left. The boss is away, there's 2 hours left. Why should they spend it working? Amen, because there's other things that they could just sit around and sit it out. And I'm just doing it. And a guy came walking through and he stopped and he looked at me. And then he started out and he stopped, did a double take and come back. I had a mop in my hand, and I was mopping between the machines to get the oil up that drips and from these in this plastics place. And he come back, he said, Rev, he said, why are you in here with everybody else sitting out there? He was serious. He looked at me with, you know, a serious look. I said, well, I'm a Christian. And the Bible said, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. You'll be rewarded of the Lord Christ. He said, I thought it was something like that. See, he really knew. But he wanted me to clarify that. Amen. I wasn't trying to get a raise. Wasn't trying to get somewhere with the boss. Amen. I've refused all of that so I can be here every Sunday. Can you say amen? I'm at level one of a 5-level pay scale and after 12 years. Isn't that incredible? I was in full-time ministry for 25, but I'm making tents now like Paul. It's okay. We're beginning again. But God is good. God is good. They say, well, we need you here. You can make this. You can make that. I said, what about Sunday? Well, there won't be nobody to fill in. You may have to work. I don't want it. I'm here. The kingdom is first. I'm going to tell you, in times like this, it is so good to know where I am in relation, amen, to God's kingdom. Amen. The kingdom of God is first. The Father knows what you have need of. Amen. The worst thing you can do in a time like this is take the kingdom and put it somewhere down the line. Amen. The greatest thing you can do is keep the kingdom first. Somebody said, I don't know how I'll make it. Well, I don't know how you'll make it either, but God knows how to deliver the righteous. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? And I can finally say this with David and really be part of that. I was young. I'll be 62 in January. I was young and now I'm... It still sticks right here. I tell you, there's a lot of younger people that can't stay up with me. Amen. That come to church. And if I had your body and you had my joy. Woo! Hallelujah. Can you say amen? We'd both be happy. Glory to God. Amen. Listen to me. I was young, David said, and now I'm old. But I have never... Never, say it with me, never. I have never, say it again, never, never. There's something that I have lived a lifetime and I have never observed. I've never seen God fail in this area. I have never seen God not come through. I have never, no matter what the condition, I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed out begging for bread. Somebody give God praise in this room. Hallelujah. And you don't preach materialism to get that. You preach Jesus' lordship, the kingdom first. Hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Father knows what you need. You don't have to inform him or tell him about it or get 18 tapes on how to get it. Make Jesus the true Lord of your life and incorporate his lordship into everything you do. Whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Hallelujah. If you wash dogs down at the pet shop and give them flea baths, sing to the Lord while you're doing it. Somebody else will be doing it with a sour face. You'll be doing it with joy and you'll stand out like a sore thumb. Jesus calls it a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Whew. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
Amen. This thing is supposed to work beyond this church service, beyond the worship. The worship service is not over when church lets out. Most churches start at 11 o'clock sharp and end at 12 o'clock dull anyway. Amen. This is not what God is after. He's after a witness incorporated into our daily life from every one of us. He's standing in line in Walmart. When you got ice cream. And you got, you know, popsicles and frozen dinners. And there's somebody in front of you and they only have 3 items. And you say, wow, I can get this to the car, get out of here before it starts to melt and thaw. And they got a pair of underwear for their child or a pair of socks for their hubby, one of the items. And the cashier looks at it, scans it, and it don't scan. And they got, would somebody from the men's department please call? And you're standing there and your ice cream is melting and all these other long lines are just chunking right along. There you stand waiting on a price on men's underwear or kids' socks. And you can stand there and grumble. You can stand there and gripe or you can be patient. And when the clerk says, and be glad you got food in your buggy to thaw out. You can't actually reevaluate everything with a good attitude. Can you say amen?
Yes, you can.
Everything looks different through those kind of eyes. I remember preaching like this one time and being put to the test. I preached like this, got home, and on a Sunday night, and about 4 o'clock in the morning, I got a call when we were in Sulphur Springs in our building. I got a call from the Tampa Police Department saying, your church has been broken into. The doors are standing wide open. We'd like you to come down and see and give us an inventory of what they've taken. By the way, I got your call, and I'm glad you're here today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm awakened at 4 in the morning. I just throw my clothes on. I tear down the road, and my first thought is, where's the angels? Where's them angels? Where are you? They ought to write them up. You ever do that, your initial reaction? God, why did you let it? I keep praying, God, give your angels charge over this place, because Sulphur Springs, you know. I was out back working one day, and I had a water hose, and I put the hose and a couple of things I was using on the yard and a weed whacker and sitting there by the side door of the church, and went around back to my car, and I was just getting something out of my trunk, and before I could even get it out of my trunk, I saw two guys with a buggy with my hose and my weed whacker pushing it down the road. And I said, hey, fellas. And they stopped and looked at me so surprised. I said, where are you going with that? They said, well, I said, that's my stuff. I'm just using it right here by the church. And they said, well, we're sorry, sir. Said, we just saw it just sitting there, and said, you know, in this community. I said, well, just put it back for me, would you? They said, okay, sir. And they went back with it. I said, oh, my Lord. So I knew about the community, and I prayed constantly, Lord, give your angels charge. Give your angels charge. Keep our people safe. And didn't he do a good job? Except for Gerald's car. Amen. That's the only thing that stole out of the parking lot that I know, but Gerald's car. Amen. Who? Yeah. Two of them. Yeah, we got both of them back. Yeah. And Gerald's, because it ran out of gas. Sister Dale's car. Sister Dale's car? They got your car too? You still came to church there? We didn't. Amen. We got it all back. Everything was okay. God took care of us. We were there for 25 years. Amen. I told my son's school counselor over in Temple Terrace where he went to school. I told him, she said, where did you live and all that? And I said, Sulphur Springs. I said, do you know Sulphur Springs? She said, I'm not just a counselor here, but I counsel with people that are on probation. Amen. And do different things like that. I do different jobs with her degree. She said, you know something? I said, do you know there's people driving around down there with shotguns and 9mm? And I said, absolutely. No, she's looking at me, what are you doing there? Why would you be there? What are you doing down there? And honey, not all of it was to reach the community. We reached some people in the community. But I can tell you one thing, for 25 years, no one in that community could say, God did not send someone to us. And send a church situation with an open door. Come in as you are. I mean, we required clothing, of course, but you know, come as you are and hear the gospel. At least one guy come in and he didn't have a shirt on. And I went back and I told him, I said, sir, we got a shirt right downstairs. I said, well, if you'll come with me, I'll get you a nice shirt and you'll be, we're honoring the Lord here. And he says, the Lord said, God knows what I look like naked. I said, sir, I'm sure he does, but we don't, and we do not want to know. Would you please come with me? And he went down and consented, and we put a nice shirt on him and brought him back up. We had some challenges in that church. But this particular night, it's 4:30 in the morning, I'm on the road to Tampa, not knowing what they took, what they left, what they desecrated, what they tore up. All I know, the cops are calling me, the doors are wide open, and I heard myself preaching a sermon similar to this. Only it was over in that praise and worship consistency. Amen. I will bless the Lord. Wow. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. And I said, Lord, you are Almighty God. And if you have permitted something like this to happen, then it must be a test. And I want to pass the test. So I'm going to praise you right now like I've been preaching. I'm going to put this into practice. Lord, if they took it all, you'll give us the grace and the finances to get some more. And if they took it all, we'll get something better. Praise God. We'll be better off if I keep the right attitude. We're going to be better off than we were before. If I take the wrong attitude, we're going to be bitter. And the choice is, you want to be bitter or you want to be better? The book of James says, my beloved, count it all joy. They were not just going through some of these mild things. They were going through intense persecution. Amen. And in the book of James, it said, my beloved brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, tests, and persecutions. Can you say, amen, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience? Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any man lack wisdom, not general wisdom, specific wisdom on trials and tests, amen, and things that God permits and allows, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Amen. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Give God, amen, give God his due. Ascribe unto him. It's not scripture anymore. I'm just commenting on the scripture. Ascribe unto him that he's God Almighty. He's Lord over heaven and earth. He's Lord over your circumstances. Amazing. He said, keep the right attitude and you'll get the right outcome no matter what is happening wrong in your life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is going to be subject to the circumstances. He'll be like the wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. Don't let that man expect anything from God. Honey, I don't want to disqualify myself from an expectant spirit, no matter what in the immediate sense is going on. If God shuts one door, he's getting ready to open another one. Somebody give him glory in this place. Hallelujah. Woo! Why? Because he's God Almighty and he's in control. So I just praised him all the way down there. And thanked him for the building he gave us. They threw rocks through all the stained glass windows. And people of the church stepped forward and financed. And a bunch of them were already bowed and messed up anyway. And we had, I guess, 18 holes, 12 dozen or more holes through those beautiful stained glass windows as people threw rocks through them. Amen. But we kept a good attitude. We praised God anyhow. Amen. And the Lord came through. People stepped forward and financed the fixing of all of those windows. And whoever they sent down there made it look like nothing had ever happened to them. And we left it in that condition. God is so good. I noticed the church that bought it from us, they had this great big vase thing by the front door. Big ceramic looking nice thing by the front door. And a big old chain around it. I mean, it took away from the aesthetics of it. No matter how pretty it is, when you see this big, I don't mean a bicycle chain neither, or even a dog chain. This is bigger chain than that. Something that wire cutters couldn't just, I thought, yeah, you in the hood now. Can you say amen? Yeah, you preach a while in the hood. We'll find out if you're really called or not. Can you say amen? Down in the hood, my uncle called me one day and he said, are you still preaching in that same church from Kentucky? I said, yes, I am. Said, well, we just saw, amen, an episode of Cops on national television that just down the road from where your church is. I said, tell me about it. I called them up one time because there was a hooker on our front bench that sits just near the church on the sidewalk. She was hooking over here, and it was a guy dealing drugs on the corner. So she's hooking over here. He's dealing drugs on the corner, and I looked out the window looking at this. I picked up the phone, and I said, listen, we got a hooker right here on the bench hooking. We got a pusher over here selling drugs right here on the corner. And I got a sergeant of the police department. You know what he told me? He said, and where did you say you were, sir? I said, I'm in Sulphur Springs at 10th and Sitka. She said, you mean in Sulphur Springs you have a hooker and a dealer? He said, nah. I thought, Lord, send me some angels. Because the popo ain't doing me no good. Can you say? That's when our security guard quit. Because there was too much going on out there at night, and he feared for his life. And we stayed there and preached the gospel for 25 years. Yeah. Remember the morning that the cops come in and told us, don't let nobody go outside, get everybody away from the windows. We had that basement down there. because they had a guy cornered out by the dumpster on Sunday morning. He was armed, amen, and there was cop cars. They had their shotguns, and he had a 9mm. They had their 9mm, and all that was taking place while we were inside huddling the kids away from the windows in case the bullets started to fly. I remember there was a lady that heard a tape of ours in an office, played it for the people in their office, and the guy in the office, he enjoyed it. He called me on the phone and said, "We heard your tape. We would love to come hear you preach Sunday morning. Can you tell us how to get to your church?" I said, "Are you familiar with Nebraska Avenue?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Go down Nebraska to Sitka just after you cross the Hillsborough River down in Sulphur Springs." He said, "Mm-hmm." And I said, "You take a left." I could tell it went, and then it went dead silent. I told him, "You know how to take the right if you're coming this way, the left if you're coming the other way, and go one block, and we're right on the, you can't miss us, we're right on the sidewalk." He said, "Well, you know, we," at first he was so enthusiastic, going to be there Sunday. Now he's backtracking. He says, you know, we may get by and see you sometime." And I thought, "No, you ain't coming. You ain't coming down in the hood. No matter how God is moving, you ain't going to drive that Mercedes down in that part of town." Hallelujah. But God put us there, didn't he? And he kept us for 25 years. Hallelujah. Praise God. Through thick and thin, he kept us. I remember when I got there, I got to the church, and there were three of Tampa's finest there in two cars, and they were walking around looking at everything, and they said, "Pastor, can you tell us what they took?" And I walked in, and I looked around, and I said, "Well," and I was in that praise God attitude. I said, "Praise the Lord, they didn't get the good stuff." First thing I did, look in the balcony where all our good sound equipment was. They hadn't got it. I said, "Praise the Lord, they didn't get the good stuff." And they were just looking at me like, "You know, you've been broke in." I looked around, and there was an old monitor that we wasn't even using, but we hadn't bothered. You know how things clutter up? Hadn't bothered to get rid of it. Well, they got it. An old monitor we couldn't use. You know what else they got? They didn't even take our microphone. They took that monitor. They took a radio out of my office. It's an old raggedy radio full of static. Amen. Then they took a telephone out of George's office.
And every time they stole our security.
That's exactly right. We had an alarm system. They took it. I guess living in that neighborhood, they figured we better get us a burglar alarm. Let's take that with us. They'll rip you off in this neighborhood. Anyway, and I'll get back and finish that. Guy came to work on our air conditioning. He used to be with the Tampa Police Department. He told me, St. Petersburg Police Department. He was a cop on the beat. He retired from that, went into the air conditioning repair business. He came to repair an air conditioner. He got there before I got there. He said, he called me on his cell phone, and I said, "I'm here. Where are you?" Because I was 15 minutes late. "Sorry for the delay. I got caught in traffic." He said, "Well, I got there on time, sir." But he said, "There were some guys walking down the road and looked at me kind of strange." He said, "And then they came back and looked at me again." And he said, "I want you to know," he said, I'm an ex-police officer, but he said, "I did not feel comfortable sitting there by myself." And he said, "Oh, I got in my van, I drove down." He told me it was in front of a public store on Nebraska Avenue. He said, "I'll be there in 10 minutes. And I thought, "Dear Lord, what grace we had on us. Here's a cop that don't want to sit there by himself. And here's me coming out at 10 o'clock at night with a little old briefcase, looking like I got the money in it, which I didn't. Treasurer had the money. But I looked like I had the money. And God took care of me for 25 years. One day on the way to church, there was a guy with a knife fighting a guy with a bicycle. The guy with the bicycle was swinging it like this to keep the guy with the knife from... And we had to stop coming both ways on Sitka Street and wait for them to get done with all of that. That was before cell phones. Nobody to call. Yeah.
And one of them came running at me before I could get to the front door, and I was panicked. But what he was trying to do is to keep me from
seeing the other person. Yeah.
You know, I saw what they were doing.
Yeah.
But anyway, he didn't hurt me because the angel was with me.
Yeah.
See,
the angels do what God instructs them to do, and when something happens that he permits in his permissive will, not our disobedience or foolishness, but in his permissive will, many times we're tested. And by the time I got to church praising God, I said, "I'm going to praise you. I'm going to thank you. I'm not going to let the devil defeat me in this. I'm going to praise you. And I began to praise God before those policemen. I said, they didn't get the good stuff. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. And I said, all the stuff they took, I said, they didn't do us damage. Our service is going to go on. We're going to get this door fixed. We're going to do that. We're going to go on and praise God. And boy, those cops were mad. That one cop, he was so mad. You know, he said, you know, if they rob a gas station, that's one thing. He said, if they rob a 7-Eleven, that's something again. But he said, when they got the audacity to come in here and rob a church, I mean, he was going to get them, brother. And I understand where he's coming from, but God had given me peace. God had given me joy. Can you say, man, count it all?
Joy.
Count it all?
Joy.
Now, I'm just telling you about the one I won. I'm not telling you about the ones I lost. I've lost some and had to get down on my face and say, oh Lord, how I need to listen to my own preaching and practice what your word says. Amen. We all do that. Can you say amen? But listen, when you set yourself, it is, everybody say attitude. Count it all joy. That's a choice you're going to have to make, and you're going to have to make it often. Count it all joy. If he doesn't start your car when the battery is down after you pray, he will sit with you until the tow truck comes. Can you say amen? And it'll be okay if you recognize his presence.
Hallelujah.
God is good. All right, say it again, Alice. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, when your faith has the opportunity to be tested and proven. Because the trying of your faith is not going to break you if you keep the right attitude. Can you say amen? Tribulation worketh patience. Be ye followers of them through faith and patience inherit the promises. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Don't give up and don't write God off. Hallelujah. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. Yea, saith the Lord, if you will pray and give me praise, you will see the mighty working of your God in spite of your enemy, in spite of your weakness, in spite of your circumstances. I am the Lord, and above me there is no other, and I rule over heaven and earth, saith God. Somebody give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God didn't fail. Hallelujah. We fixed everything that was wrong. No time. We were broke in on two or three occasions, but no time did they get the good stuff. Oh, one time they had it. One time they put it in a buggy. They got the good stuff. Had it in a buggy that they got the buggy from Kmart and had it full of our good stuff, pushing it down the road. And some of them mean kids in the neighborhood, you know, always into stuff. They went, couldn't find a cop in the whole neighborhood. They went all the way over to the Tampa Greyhound track and found a lady directing traffic and told her that they're ripping off a church in Sulphur Springs. And she jumped in her car and called some backup and came down there. And about three blocks away, there they went with their buggy full of stuff. And they got them red-handed and brought all the stuff back and unloaded it, and we put it back where it was supposed to be. God is so good if you keep the right attitude. And then I got a call saying that these people were given community service and could they come and work at the church? And I said, no. I don't want them to see what else they can come and get. I told them that. I said, "Dear Lord, no." I said, "Send them to some other place, but don't send them here." And not because I was angry or bitter. It's just because I knew what they'd do if they could. Anyway, I want them saved. But you know something in that community? I remember one night. I remember one service that there was some guys, about five of them, sitting in the balcony, and they just made noise and they did this and that. As soon as the service was over, I went up and I told them, "You're welcome to come here. I want you to hear the word of God. God loves you. Jesus died for you, but I will not allow you to dishonor His house, His word, His people, and to disrupt this service. But you are so welcome to come here." Amen. I remember how they looked at me, like, you know, they were kind of cowering. They were all in their mid-teenage years, and I knew I couldn't let the service be disrupted by the enemy. I didn't know their hearts, but I invited them back to the service, and they came back to the service, and they came forward, and they prayed, and some of them had tears in their eyes while they were praying. I'm thankful for that. There was a Wednesday that came up, said they were on their way to church, but someone invited them over to hear some sound system they'd got or something. They got sidetracked. There was a drive-by shooting in Sulphur Springs, and one of those young men was shot in the back and died before they got to the hospital. But our little church was sitting on that corner. The gospel of Jesus Christ was clearly heard in that place, because that door was open to this entire community. And if that young man did in fact receive Christ as his Savior, amen, amen, God strategically had us there for a particular reason. There were others that came to Jesus that I personally led to Christ in that community, amen. And one thing that community can never say is that there was no church that would welcome us as we are. No one would tell us. No one would love us. No one would unconditionally minister unto us, because we did it for 25 years. And God let me be full-time for 25 years. And we never took a second offering for 25 years. And we didn't teach a message of pie in the sky to get people to give. We preached the old rugged cross for 25 years. And God, hallelujah, amen, honored the message of Christ and Him crucified. And we kept a good attitude, and God blessed us, Sister Venable. Praise God. Amen. And He will today, whatever you're facing, my beloved brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this about your God, the trying of your faith, if you keep the right attitude, will develop your patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Just getting filled with the Spirit or blessed doesn't bring you into that maturity.
No,
it's going through things with God that brings you there. Patience worketh experience, and tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience. Experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. That means once this hope, this glad expectation of future good, no matter what the moment may be bringing, if that is alive in you, it'll take you through anything. Can you say amen? And it'll take you through with joy. With joy. Whatever you do, take your worship into your work. Take your worship into your trials. Amen. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Amen. And not while they were praying, petitioning, but while they were praising and worshiping.
Yes.
Before the fact, God shook the prison house and the doors sprang open. Can you say amen? Faith has to go beyond our emotions and our immediate circumstance. It has to reach beyond that. It has to actually reach in not just the power of God, but the sovereignty of this all-powerful God. Amen? You know, did you know, until the hedge came down, Satan couldn't touch anything of Job's. God was still in control of every moment. Amen? And that night, God put me to the test. So if you just think I could just bring this message to you and I'm scot-free, you're wrong about that. Everything I preach, I get tested on. Husbandman has to be the first partaker of the fruits. I have to be done wrong, get heart broke, have the opportunity to be bitter and forgive, so that the joy and peace of God can reign in my life and love people that don't love me back. Hallelujah. But who rewards me?
The Lord
Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. I could show you my scars. Every preacher's got them. Amen. You can't preach the gospel without getting wounded. But God has been so good to me. I would have to go down that road of memory. I would have to dig up stuff that's buried in that place where I bury all those bad things. And I don't like digging up dead things. Can you say amen? God is so gracious. Well, we didn't get to our text today. Actually, our text became James chapter 1, didn't it? My beloved brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith is going to develop the greatest asset to faith that there is, patience. Amen? Be ye followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen? After you were illuminated, Hebrews 10:32, you experienced a great fight of afflictions. Amen. What was happening to the brethren began to happen to you. Persecution came heavy into your life after you came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. But cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. God has a timing in all of this. And the attitude you have at the moment is going to determine the outcome. You're going to doubt God. You're going to accuse God. You're going to get depressed and discouraged. Or you're going to say, God, I don't understand this. But I will ascribe to you that you're God Almighty and you are in control. And I will not look back and I will not go back. And I will not get down. In fact, I'm going to stand up and give you the praise. I remember one lady put that into practice. I appreciated her so much, her testimony I read. A pastor knew her personally, and she was going through some heavy stuff. I mean, some serious bad stuff. She said one day, as I was coming from the kitchen to the living room, I felt weak. She said, I felt all my strength leave me, emotionally spent and physically weakened and spiritually confused. Why is all of this happening in my life? She said, it was kind of like a Job thing, one thing after another until it accumulated to become unbearable. And she said, you know, but I knew in my heart, even though I had questions in my head, she said, I knew in my heart that God is faithful and God is good. And all things work together for good. I knew it in my heart, even though I didn't understand in my head. And she said, I was just walking from the kitchen to the living room. And she said, people all their life said they've heard God speak to them. And I have too, but said, I heard the devil speak to me. And said, you know how I know it was the devil? Because he said, why don't you give up on this whole God thing? Serving God hasn't profited you. God is not coming through for you. If God loved you, he wouldn't let this happen to you. Said all of that began to flood her mind. All of these thoughts seemed to be shoved into her mind that she did not invite nor manufacture. And she said, devil, you're a liar. God is faithful. And I don't understand all of this. But I want you to know that I will praise and worship my God in spite of all of this because He is my God. So devil, you stand right there and listen to me praise my God. And she began to worship with all of her heart. And she said that old depression and that old oppression and all of that other old stuff broke over her. Hallelujah. She probably did the chicken dance if the truth were known. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Isn't God good today? Glory to the Lamb. Will you stand up and give Him some praise in here?